You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there. I want to invite you back towards wherever you happen to be. We're going to be starting a new series today. It's called Waiting. Our theme for 2020 is Compelled by Jesus, with the focus on Him leading us and guiding us, and our learning to respond in obedience and to grow in our discipleship, which is basically wanting to become more Christ-like in every area of life. Now, I don't know about you, but 2020 is not going as I expected it would go. Anybody who saw this coming? I mean, seriously, our life has been severely disrupted. But I gotta say, even though we didn't see it coming, Jesus knew, and Jesus knows, and He's still on the throne. And I was reading through Romans the other day, one of my favorite books of the Bible, as they all are, and I came across this bumper sticker verse, Romans 8:28, and it really jumped out at me because as Paul's writing to the Romans, he's talking to people who are enduring suffering, they're enduring persecution, they're going through hard things. But the thing that he wants to remind us of is that God never wastes our pain, and He actually takes what's meant to be worked for evil, and He turns it for good. But this bumper sticker verse says something to the effect of, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. But if you keep reading, it actually says something to the effect of, in order, Louis's learning a new language, in order that they may be conformed to the image of His Son. Get this. He's working the stuff together for our good because He's called us, but He's doing it also to help us grow in discipleship so we can be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus. So for me, that was something that was very, very encouraging. I last week had mentioned that I felt like, I think it was in our first service of 2020, that God was giving us a deepening appreciation and love for Him, for His Word, and for His presence. And this week, I heard from at least five people who said that they're experiencing that right now. And it wasn't as though they did not love Jesus before, didn't love reading the Bible before, but it was almost like one of those things in the same way you wake up and crave your morning cup of coffee or to jump into your routine. It's like, I just got to get into Scripture. That's something that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not just one of those things you say, well, I guess I should do this because Christians are supposed to read their Bible. It's more of a, because I love you, Jesus, because I want to spend time with you, because your word is truth and life, I want to read this. And so I want to give you a little opportunity, if there's things that jump out at you about what we're talking about today or how you're experiencing waiting on the Lord, we can text the church phone, 775-322-3004. Cassidy is womaning the phone right now. She's not manning it. She's womaning the phone. And be able to hopefully come up with any of the insights and questions you may have, and we can address them. So I'd like to know the why behind the what. And so I did a little bit of research this week. By no means is this exhaustive research. It did it in a couple hours. But in a different life, and if I hadn't had my world kind of take a left turn on me when I was 18, I wanted to be a psychologist. And I love the idea of psychology. I love understanding how our brains work. And it's not that our psychology and Christianity are at odds with each other. Actually, a lot of psychology or a lot of Christianity helps us understand what's happening with psychology. But this isn't so much a deep dive into psychology. It's just how our brains work. And if you've ever been waiting in a line and you don't know how long it's going to take to get, you know, to where you're going, it can be incredibly frustrating. So, like, if you're, say, the happiest place on earth, Disneyland, and you're standing in line, you can look up just about anywhere and you will see a sign that says you have 45 minutes until you will arrive at your destination to be able to go on Splash Mountain and soak the clothes that you wore today. But just even that 45-minute sign, it helps us to be able to wait at a time. If we didn't have that, we're thinking, how much longer is this going to be as everyone melts down around us? And so I wanted to explore some of the things that are true that make waiting more difficult before we dive into the scripture, which will be Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. And the reason I want to look at some of the things that can make waiting more difficult is because we are in a time, whether we like it or not, where we are being forced to wait. And we can wait poorly, or we can wait well and wait for the Lord. And we'll talk about what that looks like. I'm hoping that some of these insights about how our brains work can be something that will then help us as we're looking to engage with Jesus as we learn to wait upon Him in this kind of forced quarantine business. So, some psychology things I found about waiting. If you have unoccupied time, that is will make waiting seem longer than occupied time. Duh, right? If you have something to do, the time will pass quicker than if you don't have something to do. I mentioned this just a second ago. It's not that I think I'm coming out of this quarantine and I just want to be stronger. I'm looking at this, you know, Stephanie Ridge issued a burpee challenge. And it was like, I don't know if she decreed it or what, but it was like this, I'm doing 100 burpees a day for 30 days for the entire month of April. And I'm thinking, I hate burpees. Burpees are the worst. I just even thinking about the word, I just don't like it at all. And I get this little nudge inside and say, you know, you hate it anyway, but it would give you something to look forward to if you can do 100 burpees a day. And so before I eat anything during the day, it's kind of a motivation for me to do the burpees. I withhold food from myself in order to do them. I am looking to fill my schedule with things that I can look forward to. Unoccupied time is longer than occupied time. We, as people, we want to get started with whatever it is that we're doing. We, in our current situation where our governor has said we're going to be quarantining, at least the stay-at-home order is going to be at least through April 30th, we're looking at and saying, okay, we want to get to April 30th, and then we want to see things get started again. We want the even if it's a slow rollout, as we're going very slow, we want to get past this stay-at-home phase, and we want to get to the next phase, okay? Restaurants actually do this to us to kind of help calm our fears and to make it feel like we've already gotten started. When we walk in, we're in the waiting area. They say, hey, would you like to take a menu? And look at your menu. So it's not like you've forgotten. You're already there. Doctors do it to us as well. We have the waiting room that you go, and as soon as you arrive, you sit there. But when they take you back, even if you wait for another 20 minutes, you've already started the process. And most likely, they haven't forgotten you. So our brains are wired. We want to start things. This may be a real surprise to you, but anxiety and worry can make waiting worse. Just let that sit in. The more anxious we are, the more difficult and long the wait will seem. This is where we get to not just say, well, just pray real hard and maybe God will take your anxiety away. It's an opportunity to recognize we can be running a little bit more anxious, a little bit more on edge than we would normally be running at this time. And for us to be able to cast our cares upon the Lord and intentionally connect with Him and connect with our loved ones and have conversations like Jake was talking about earlier. And by the way, I thought it was just amazing to see Jake and Andrew both, without talking to each other, go full-on team representing and smack-talk each other, even though they didn't know they were going to be doing that. I love Hillside. This is wonderful. Another thing that can make waiting more difficult is if we don't know why we're waiting. Unexplained waits. If you've ever been in an airport and your flight's been delayed, it's like, okay, why are we delayed? Is not able to fix a bathroom door? That happened to me at Chicago O'Hare Airport. Actually had a flight canceled because the toilet door would not work. It's like, we don't need the door, but anyway. If you don't know why you're waiting, it can make it more difficult. Because once you find out, oh, it's this, and they're working on it to fix it, it's like, okay, then I can get over that. I've started the ready to take off type of thing. Uncertain waits, not knowing how long. How many people would actually go to a place like Disneyland and stand in a line that's a half mile long if we didn't know how long it was going to take to get there? It's almost like if you were going to Costco or Home Depot in the last couple of days, you're going to see these lines that are all the way wrapped around the building, and there's nobody that says, oh, don't worry, it's only a 30-minute wait from here. No, you're just standing there, and it's painful, and it's difficult, and it makes it to where a lot of people just say, peace out. I don't want to do this because I'm not going to just stand there for who knows how long, 6 feet away from a bunch of people, hoping that they're not sick, hoping I'm not going to get sick, hope I can just get the stuff that I need. So with the uncertain wait is much more difficult than when we have this finite amount of time. Waits that are unfair are more difficult than waits that are equitable or fair. And basically, this is why we hate it when people cut in front of us. Because it's like, no way, do your time. I did my time to get to where I am right here. You're not cutting me off because you're extending my... And so we can get frustrated. I don't know about you, but I like rules. And so I was the guy in elementary school that if anybody was cutting, hey, Miss Handy, Miss Culpepper, Miss Williams, Mrs. Howe, Johnny's cutting because it was not right and somebody needs to know. And as a firstborn, I am a mandatory reporter of cutting, just so you know. And then here's something very serious. Waiting alone feels longer than waiting with other people. Think about that. Waiting alone feels longer and is more difficult than waiting with other people. If you're living by yourself, if you're working by yourself, even if you're working by yourself at home with your spouse and they're upstairs and you're downstairs doing that, it can seem really, just it really can mess with us. And so I so appreciate what Jake shared today about making contact, not physical contact, but it, getting in touch with people and even having those conversations with a neighbor across the street. Or I've seen loved ones gather. I got to watch my daughters-in-law with for their sister night kind of take their cars and go park in a parking lot, you know, 8 to 10 feet apart and open up the tailgates and just kind of sit back there and eat their snacks together. And I heard somebody was just so excited to be able to be eating chocolate with their friends. And so it's neat to be able to find ways to connect and to be with each other. And it really reminds us how much we need that and we need Jesus. So with those things in mind, I want you to hear where we're going over these next weeks. We're going to be talking about different places in Scripture where the command is to wait upon the Lord or to wait for the Lord, or here's what will happen when God, when we're waiting, the process that God is engaging with us. Today, as we're in Isaiah chapter 40, be thinking about what it looks like for you to wait for the Lord in your current situation and hear what God's promise is to us. Remember last week, we're talking about commandments and promises. Promises are stuff that God says he is going to accomplish, not regarding anything that I would do. And a commandment is something that he gives to me to be able to put into practice and to obey. So these things that we're going over today are a promise from God. Here's what he will do if we will wait for the Lord. So let's pop open Isaiah chapter 40. ESV version is what I'm using. 40 verse 27. It says, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." This is important to know. Isaiah wrote this particular passage while Israel was in Babylon. They had been taken captive, and they're there, and they're wishing and hoping to be able to go back to their ancestral land. The land was promised to them by God, that they it was their inheritance, it was their past, present, and future. It was the connection that they had with the Lord. If they worship him, he gives them the land. They fell away, didn't worship him, the land was taken from them. And so they are feeling lost, confused, isolated, unknown, surrounded by strangers in a strange land. And they, Isaiah addresses the idea here. It says, basically, in verse 27, the individuals are saying, you know, hey, Israel, why are you saying God doesn't pay attention to what's going on with you? He has no clue what's happening. That's not true. Do you know who he is? Do you know what he's done? And so for me, it was, do you know the source? And he begins to review God's character, his nature, kind of his resume. Isaiah gets a little bit indignant here, and he's going to this, you're saying this about God? Excuse me? Are you talking about him? Who are you talking about? He says, the Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't get faint. He doesn't faint. He doesn't get tired. His understanding is beyond measure. This is who Isaiah is talking about. He's the everlasting God. Excuse me. You think he doesn't know what's going on with you? I'm sorry. He created the earth, and he knows exactly what's going on with you. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. It doesn't mean he inhabits everything, but it means he's capable of being in all places at once. That's how come we can be with him together, because wherever we are, there he is. This is our God. This is who he is. And now there's also this, and because this is who he is, this is what our God does for people who fully rely upon him. And by the way, the Old Testament definition of what somebody, of humble, wasn't somebody who's like, oh, shucks, you know, I'm not that big of a deal. It says Moses was the most humble man ever, and the Old Testament definition of humility was not even close to ours. It referred to the person who fully relies upon God. And so Moses was most reliant upon him. For us, it's an invitation to say, as God is calling us towards discipleship and we're being compelled by Jesus in this year, to say, help me to more fully rely upon you, O Lord. Okay, so what will God provide to those who wait for him? Number one, it says he gives his divine power, strength, and might to the faint, the weary, and the fatigued. to those with no might, no vigor, no strength, no wealth or goods. Those are the Hebrew translations. He increases strength. This means our life, our hope, and our future do not depend upon our own resources or the lack we have thereof. God will give from His storehouse. One of the things that happens when you're walking your neighborhood and people are standing in the garage, you get to find out who the toilet paper hoarders are. Just going to let that hang out there. And as we're walking up our street, I'm looking and I see over this immaculate garage, and homeboy has got toilet paper stacked, looks like floor to ceiling. And I'm thinking, there's got to be, the Costco one, the 30 rollers. And so he's either got some bowel issues going on, or, he's hoping, just in case, he's the guy with the toilet paper. And for some of us, that was a real struggle, was we're waiting for, ideally, our favorite grocery store or Costco or Sam's Club type of a place that was going to get this. It's not that you want to sit there and talk about toilet paper, but it's vital. Would you agree with this? Yes. And so when you don't have any and you're worried about it, thinking, where am I supposed to get this? And there were people who were freaking out and panicking because they didn't have toilet paper. And it's a kind of a little bit of a crass example, but when it comes down to it, God says, I've got you in the middle of this. He will provide for us and our needs, not based upon what's going on with us and our abilities or what's in our pantry and what's not. He will provide from His own resources. This is good. And one of the things about Him giving it, it's supernatural. It's beyond something that we can do for ourselves. And it is resourced in His nature, His provision. And it's funny here because we look at or what Isaiah says, it's like, okay, even the youths, even the young people, they're going to tire out eventually. And for all of you with little kids who are working from home and sheltering from home and you have your kids with you, you hold on to this verse. Even the youth shall be faint and weary. They will sleep at some point. Pray, it's in the Bible. They will run out of gas eventually, okay? And even the young men shall fall exhausted. Those who seem to be in their peak health, peak fitness, even they will reach a point where they're just done. But here's the promise. But those who wait for the Lord shall recharge their strength. They will receive a supernatural strength from beyond their own resources. And the power of the Holy Spirit is going to keep going long after we should have run down. So we're going to look at what to wait for means, the word meanings that go into that. But I just want you to sit there for a second and to hear this promise. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. This is God's promise for you. Just sit there and receive it. Lord, we receive your promise that says, when we wait for you, you're going to renew our strength. And it's not based upon our resources. It's not based upon what we can do. It's not based upon our past, present. You are saying, from your resources, you're giving that to us. And we choose today, as a people who belong to you, as a people who are dedicated to you, to say, we will wait for you, Lord. We don't know how long this current situation is going to go, but if anything good can come out of this, Lord, may we become people who are more willing to embrace the process of waiting upon you and waiting for you and trusting you. Our God shall provide. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so to wait for, and when you've got a little bit more time like I have had this week to do some digging, I want to understand because what the words mean. Because when I read something in Scripture, it's important to know that this is maybe stuff that's written 2,000 years ago, and that a word can change its meaning over time. The Hebrew word may be one thing, and it says to wait. Okay, what does that mean? Well, a lot of the time when you're reading in the Old Testament, it says about people who are waiting or lying in wait, they're waiting to ambush somebody to kill them. And so it's an entirely different type of waiting, because that's not what God's called us to do. We're not supposed to lie in wait unless it's a pillow fight, and those are perfectly okay. You can totally lie in wait for people, whack it with pillows. Pastor Louis says, okay? I'm sorry that just happened. I didn't mean for that to happen. But anyway, you got hit. To wait. So as I'm looking up the word waiting or to wait, it actually says to wait for. And the different definitions say to wait, to be patient, but with hope and trust. So waiting with an attitude of hope and trust. It has a connotation of looking for, hoping, expecting or expectancy, looking eagerly for, and to kind of linger for. And so I want to give you an example. When Joni and I were dating, she was a high school senior. I was much, much older than her. I graduated in 87. She graduated in 89. And she went to school in this little tiny small town with one stoplight, one KFC, no McDonald's. It was a very small town. And small high school, everybody knows each other. They've all gone to school together. And me, being, I was a college guy, totally college guy, driving a really cool tricked out rabbit. It was awesome. But I would go, it was not in not a creepy way as I describe this. I would go and I would drive from Carson City, where I lived, to this little tiny small town. You guys probably would never even heard of it. So small. It's a tiny little place. Sonora, California. And I would go outside of her high school and I would get out of my car and I'd sit on the front engine compartment with the hood down so I'm not going to burn anything. And I was going to sit there and I would just hang out and I would wait. Sometimes I'd go early before she would get out of school on the off chance, because at her school you had to walk outside to get from one class to another. And I'm hoping, just hoping that she's going to see me, because the good chance if she sees me, she's going to come and want to hang out with me. The animal magnetism. It was just crazy. Anyway, it's kind of like that lingering. I'm just going to hang here on the off chance that that beautiful woman's going to come out of her class and she's going to see me. The word to wait for has this connotation, to look eagerly for, but to linger for. This is not lingering in a creepy way. This is lingering in a hopeful, expectant way of knowing I'm going to be here to receive the good that comes from the Lord in this particular situation. Another definition or connotation is to be constant and diligent in persevering in waiting for something. As a characteristic, it's I am going to be a person who is known as a good waiting for. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to persevere in waiting. And so the thing here is I'm not doing it by, you know, my willpower and by these white knuckles. It's not like that. It is I'm going to be someone who is expectantly leaning into looking towards the Lord and trusting that he's going to give me what I need. And there's a huge step of faith to be able to lean into him and not just try and handle all the things that we're able to handle ourselves. You know, God, I can deal with the majority of this, but you know, maybe if something gets big, I'll come to you. No, it's like in the same way a little kid comes running to their parent in a point of great need, and you think, you know, what could they really need? Well, they need a Snicker bar, or they need peanut butter, or they need what you have. They want the chair that you're sitting in, whatever they're asking for. In this situation, we can depend upon God, and he's going to give us exactly what we need. There's a painting by a guy named Marc Chagall, and it deals with the topic of Sabbath. And if you look it up, if you look up Sabbath and Marc Chagall, it's MarcChagall. This particular painting shows a family celebrating the Sabbath. And when I say they're celebrating the Sabbath, it looks like the most boring, tedious time in the world. Everybody's just kind of sitting in a chair, and kids are sleeping, but they're not like laying down sleeping. They're just kind of like, you can tell when the kid's falling asleep, his head's on the table, and it looks like no one's having fun. When I initially heard waiting for the Lord, this is the kind of picture I had. It's like, welcome to the most boring thing you could ever do in your whole life. We're going to wait for the Lord, and it's just going to be interminable. It's going to be insufferable. We're going to hate it. Which most things that God asks us to do, that's what it's going to be like. It's just going to be terrible. You're not going to enjoy it at all. That's how I felt, which is exactly the opposite of what he's saying. He's inviting us to a richness of connection and of life that he wants to give to us. The picture of waiting for the Lord that I want us to kind of grab onto is that it is active, not passive. A lot of the time, waiting for the Lord can be occupying myself with what I know to be doing while actively waiting for the thing that God wants to do next. So I'm not sitting here just twiddling my thumbs, hoping and praying somehow that the time's going to actually get here to where, okay, now something's happening. There are things that I can know I need to be doing until the thing that needs to happen, as I'm actively looking for and seeking out God, I'm going to keep doing those things. I'm not going to just sit doing nothing. As I look in the scriptures over and over again, I see how many instructions are given about seeking the Lord and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is one of those things, while I'm waiting for him, I can also be seeking him and looking for him. And he's not playing hide and seek. He's not playing hard to get. In this time, he's our very present help. And he's waiting for us to engage with him. To be expectant is to go with a faith-filled look, to say, I'm waiting for the Lord, expecting he's coming here to meet me. It's trusting God as my source for what I need, even if I don't know what it is that I need. We had a really fun afternoon yesterday because my daughter and son-in-law were hoping to do a project at Home Depot, but they saw the lines, and they decided not to go there. And we have a stash of diapers that we were going to be able to give to them. And so they also wanted to change their kids and all that good stuff. And so they swung by doing some, I think they were probably 19 diaper changes in 20 minutes. There was a lot of diaper changing going on. But our 2-year-old granddaughter is so smart, but she gives no thought to where she gets stuff from. It's not like, you know, if she's at Nama's house, she just knows I will go to the pantry and there'll be snacks in there. She doesn't know what it took to get those snacks in there. She just knows they're there. I have a stash of protein bars, and they're very, very precious to me. Very precious. Not like Gollum and the One Ring, but I love them. And Mimi, for whatever reason, she will go into the pantry, and she will grab from my stash one of these protein bars, and she'll come out, and she'll open it, and she'll eat like half of it, and then get, you know, it gets left somewhere, and she goes in for another one, because she doesn't know where this provision is coming from. And I'm not saying we need to be more like that. Waste our food, take, you know, empty people's pantries, and then leave your dirty diapers and go home. That's not what this is about. This is about a little kid doesn't know how their needs are met. They just know who is meeting them. Mila knows if she goes to Nama's house, there's protein bars in the pantry, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. She doesn't know anything about the process. She just knows, if I go here, this is what's going to happen. It's that same type of childlike faith. God invites us to go to him and know, no, we don't have to worry about where it's going to come from. It's just coming from him. Does that make sense? Okay, good. So this is where I wanted to ask you. And it may be if you're physically here, I think this is our smallest gathering together that we've had. We've just literally, we have seven people counting Louis. And so we're usually between 7 and 10. But for those of you who are here, if there's anything that stands out to you from what I've been talking about, what it means to wait for the Lord, especially in the context of the psychology of waiting, I would love for you to weigh in on this too. And maybe we'll have some people out there in the real world connect with us too. But what does it look like for us to wait for the Lord in a time where it's not our choice, but we're being forced into this? And how can we cooperate with the Lord in this time to actually have productive waiting? That's not the anxious, fearful, isolated, alone waiting. Because we can't control how long this goes, but we can definitely control what we do with our time. And we can control what we give ourselves to. We can control if we're going to try to connect with people if we don't. So what does this look like? We want to establish and embrace a pattern of biblical waiting on the Lord. One of the things I'd invite you to do is to read through the Psalms and read through the Proverbs, and you're going to see over and over again where it talks about the person is waiting and they went through a difficult time and then they come out the other side because God rescued them. One of the Psalms, I believe that we're going to do this one next week, is Psalm chapter 40. It says, I waited for the Lord, I cried out to him and he heard my voice. It talks about how he's rescued from the miry clay and brought out of the pit and placed his feet upon a rock. So it's that type of stuff where it can seem almost really subtle and not really pronounced. Oh, he was waiting for the Lord. He was in a pit and now God rescued him. Isn't that great? Yeah, it doesn't talk about the time that he was stuck in the pit. He talks about the time where he's rescued, because it's kind of weird how good news and the rescue can overcome all the junk that led up to it. A couple years ago, Joni and I were in Mexico, and it happened to be during the time when the boys from Thailand, the soccer players, were trapped in a cave, and they were going to this ancient site underground, and at some point in their journey, the cave filled up with water, and it was the only thing in English on TV. Everything else was in Spanish and all sorts of other stuff, and while I can understand Spanish, at some point, I wanted to hear what was going on, and it was so captivating to watch the story and hear the stories about what was going on with these boys, and they're communicating with them, and one of their people trying to rescue them died, and then they finally got everybody out at over a several day process, and people are healthy. And at some point, people stopped talking about all the suffering and alone and isolation and the fear, and all they talked about was the joy that came after that, and the joy of being rescued, and the joy of being reunited with families. And even though we're in the middle of this time where we're experiencing the junk and we're going through difficulty, there is a time that is going to come when we come through the other side of this. We're going to be telling testimonies of the good things that God has done in us and the good things that he's doing through us and the things that we've learned and the areas that we've been challenged, areas that we've been growing. And so part of it is recognizing in this process, I'm keeping my eyes on the one who is guiding my steps. So what are we doing with this? Anybody? within this physical room have something you want to throw out at me? Anybody from our virtual Hillsiders watching from home? Something about waiting today. What do we got? Cassidy.
We had from Heidi Damick said that the you talking about waiting and being non-creepy lingering brought to mind Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was anticipating good to come from being near Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah, and I really, when you were giving out the different definitions of what it means to wait, that anticipate word definitely stuck out to me. It's not just waiting, sitting around, but we're anticipating like something good because we haven't promised like good comes out of it. So,
non-creepy lingering.
Yes, non-creepy lingering. I like that.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, Chris.
So yesterday I listened to a seminar about thriving in this time, and it really caused me to open up myself to being responsive to what the God wanted to do, and so I just. You know, I opened myself up and I prayed and said, God, I mean, I want to know if there's something. And I just waited. And then this morning, with one of the habits of the disciplines in the CVSOM, we've been doing the journaling. And I've been still doing that. And I went to the journaling this morning. And as soon as I started journaling, the answer started coming of my waiting. And it just kind of broke me. And so I think part of the waiting is, you know, opening ourselves up and then coming back to it and having those disciplines in place so that we can address them.
Sure.
We had a couple more on Facebook.
Nice.
Patty McConnell said she really liked the concept of active waiting, being conscious of being led by the Holy Spirit, of how to serve others, like making a phone call to reach out to someone, spending more time with the Lord. And Brent Judy said, waiting is hard. I like decisions and resolution. Really struggle waiting on anyone, even God.
Good to hear from you, Patty. Brent, love you, buddy. Anybody else? Joanne, you got anything for me? Come here. Come here.
I don't think you're on the screen.
It's okay.
I think that in this time of waiting, I have had to choose what I'm going to set my mind to, and I am looking for opportunities to be thankful, and I'm looking for His goodness in my everyday normal life, and just through my normal routines, my new normal routines, and lack of needing to go to work and feeling accomplished at the end of the day and having done that and actually feel physically tired and having new normals now where you've got energy and you can, you know, paint your whole house if you wanted to or tear up your yard or train your dog or, you know, I think animals are getting more love than they've ever had before with all this extra time. They're not going to know what to do when we all go back to work. But to look for the things of goodness and the things that bring me joy or bring yourself joy in this time has been helpful.
Yeah. Got anything, Cass?
Yeah.
Okay.
For everyone who says waiting is hard out there, Sean McConnell is encouraging us with, your waiting will be rewarded. And
that's a really good point.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. This is not fruitless waiting. This isn't the waiting where you've been waiting in line to get on the new Star Wars ride at Disneyland, and you find out after 4 hours of waiting that the thing's been shut down with an indefinite fixing time. We just wasted 4 hours. This is not that type of waiting.
And Diane Williams says, waiting is not meant to be idle. It is most likely an equipping time for what God has for you next.
Yeah, and even if that equipping is to strengthen us and also to change the pace at which we live.
Patty Porter, waiting has the feel of utter helplessness, which can drive us to choose how we will be consoled. Okay, God, I choose you, even though I do not see why. I would rather not be alone through this.
Yes.
Cole Pocock also says there is a great passage about waiting on the Lord in 1 Samuel 3.
Do you know that guy?
Yeah, I'm a little familiar with him.
All right, as we wrap up, thank you for everybody who's participating. I really enjoy that. I'm hoping through this waiting process, we may never discover fully why we end up waiting, but it is something that we get to wrestle with and engage and to know God's not going to waste it. And if nothing else, when we have downtime, when we're not occupied, we're not having to do stuff, even saying, making ourselves available, okay, Lord, what good can I do in your name? Who can I be a blessing to? Even if it's just briefly, even if it seems small, where can I, instead of engaging in vitriol, engaging in self-focusedness, engaging just and not caring what's going on in the world around me, how can I be and do what Jesus would be being and doing if he was in my shoes? You know, here I am, send me. And even asking that of the Lord, having that be our prayer, I guarantee he's going to give us things that are a part of this, that are going into the waiting and going in through the application of the trust, knowing this is not going to be a waste of our time. So join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, I bless each person with an ability to wait. Lord, this is something that is a learned discipline, being able to wait well, to quiet our own souls, to quiet our own hearts, and not to be worried about our own resources, but to lean fully into you. I pray in this time, as we wait for you, we will see you renew our strength. Lord, long after we should have run out of gas, that we will be able to keep going. I pray that we would function at the pace that brings life to us, and also that we would be looking to be a blessing to the people we come in contact with. I thank you. Trust you. Looking forward to even more studies on waiting, but also on seeing us come through this. There's a light that is coming. There will be an end to these trials. But until that day comes, still we will praise you. Still we will trust you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to say God bless you. We're praying for you. If you're interested in a Zoom Bible study, we've got several going on. They're all listed on our Hillside app. Feel free to check that out. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.